always be clear where you get your conservative talk.
The St. Louis Business Journal is now reporting that liberal billionaire George Soros is the largest shareholder of Odyssey,
the parent company of KMOX and 97.1 Talk.
Soros' maneuver raises critical questions about the future of media ownership and influence.
Money and attention is power. And when he has the money and he controls what's on the radio stations, he's going to be able to control the minds, essentially hundreds of millions of Americans.
St. Louis's trusted source and number one.
For conservative talk.
This is News Talk STL.
All right, so much going on here. Where do we even start? All right, you know, we're going to get to that in the first morning news dump of the day here in just a little bit. Really fascinating conversation we had. If you missed it later on in the program yesterday, kind of in that latter half of the show, Mark Miller from the Pacific Legal Foundation. And by the way, Mark used to be the chief of staff to Governor Kristi Noem. So this guy really knows his way around the conservative and the freedom movements. He's now working with PLF, and one particular case could have a significant effect on St. Louis. I'm talking about the U.S. Supreme Court case, and this has to do with dealing with homelessness and what local governments are actually allowed to do. And you may say, well, wait a minute, if we're talking about restricting government, isn't that always a good thing? Well, yeah, usually. But in this case, there's a little bit of a different twist to it. And I'm telling you, what happens in the city of St. Louis and how we deal with the homelessness situation in the city is going to affect the entire region. We're already seeing that. I live in the county and we're seeing it even in some of the areas in the county as well. So this particular case could have a wide-ranging effect, especially on us. And here's Mark describing what the case is and what it could mean to us. So U.S. Supreme Court hearing arguments regarding this case involving homelessness. Mm-hmm. Now, it's not about homelessness. It's about what can and can't governments do regarding homelessness, because it's sure easy to screw things up from a government perspective.
Oh, gosh.
It's not always easy for governments to figure out the right thing to do. Honestly, I think they should probably get out of the way and just let the private sector come and deal with it. But we're joined now with Mark Miller from the Pacific Legal Foundation. And Mark, give me kind of a primer, because, you know, I've read the articles on it. I've read some of the briefs. I'm not a lawyer, so that's not going to resonate with me the way it will other people. But essentially, what's at stake? What is it that the Supreme Court has to decide when it comes to homelessness? Because for a lot of people, I think this case has been a little bit confusing.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me on, Mike. And I agree with your point wholeheartedly that, you know, letting the private sector figure out our problems and trying to solve them almost always is better than the government, other than basic government functions. But here, what you have is you have the appeals court in the Ninth Circuit, which is the West Coast, which traditionally, historically, over the last several decades, it's been the court that gets things wrong the most, and the Supreme Court has to fix them. Here, the Ninth Circuit said that government, local governments, can't do anything to address the homeless unless they have enough beds for all of the homeless in their town, such that then they can somehow fine the homeless for not coming to those beds. But otherwise, hands are tied, local governments can do nothing, and the homeless can take over and build encampments on public property, public parks, sidewalks, and what have you. And City of Grants Pass, Oregon, in this case, said enough.
Yeah, so really, just so I'm understanding this, is that unless a city at taxpayer or grant, whatever expense they come to, unless you're willing to take custody and provide them housing, you're not allowed to say you can't pee on the sidewalk here, you can't sleep on the underpass, you can't, you know, set up a tent in a neighborhood, you can't take over a park. So unless you're willing to just provide everything, then you can't do it. That's actually the question before the Supreme Court.
That's ultimately the question, is can a city say that it's wrong to find people who say they're homeless and who are then sleeping or camping on public property? All those downstream issues you mentioned, defecation, urination, tend to follow. And the homeless advocates would say, well, no, you can punish that, but how can you have one without the other? You can't. And the justices here, for the majority of them, were very skeptical of the homeless advocates' position, which isn't to say we're not all sympathetic and empathetic with the homeless, and we don't want our governments to punish them severely, and we'd rather see the government, to the extent that the government has a role here, is try to get them help, whether it's mental illness help, drug addiction help, whatever. But whether they can even do that is what this case is about.
Good morning, Mark. A Pfeiffer here. So it would seem to me that if there was a ruling that suggested that this was true, that the government would have the responsibility of providing for the homeless, that would also then have the power to force them into that situation, right? Basically, like, we have this number of beds, and all these homeless are out here, and they say, "I don't want to move," but we kind of have to make you at that. Wouldn't those things gonna go hand in hand?
The unintended consequences of this,
yeah.
I think that's a great point. And, number one, you're looking at how expensive it would be for the taxpayer, as you said, whether we call that grants or not. Ultimately, we're paying for it if there is some sort of responsibility that the government owes to the homeless. Another point here is our rights are not rights for the government to give us something. Here would be housing. No, our rights are that the government doesn't interfere with our rights. We get freedom of speech, freedom of the press, what have you. Government can't interfere. Here, the homeless advocates have turned that on its head, and they're saying, no, the government, if you're homeless, the government either has to give you a place to sleep or leave you alone to take public property, which is what the homeless are doing. The Supreme Court's going to have a problem with that. The argument made it clear that a majority of the justices don't agree with what the Ninth Circuit did.
And cities all over the country, St. Louis, where we are, and others, they're dealing with laws that have been passed basically to outlaw public nuisances from those who are homeless. And, of course, there's the debate, empathy versus, order and all of that sort of thing. So those are the types of laws that would be affected by whatever this outcome is going to be. Laws that say you can't loiter, in parks or in public areas and that sort of thing. So really, probably most cities or states have some kind of law, Mark, I'm guessing, that's going to be affected by this ruling one way or the other.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Even though, as I said, this is about the West Coast, the Ninth Circuit, which is California, Oregon, Washington, Montana, Hawaii, et cetera, it would impact because of the U.S. Supreme Court. If the U.S. Supreme Court were to agree with the logic that we cannot in any way fine or in any way discipline, charge the homeless who are doing those kind of things, acting like a vagrant, threatening the public, you get into this real problem for the cities with the local, law enforcement officer. When am I violating their rights to be in public? And the idea, as you said at the beginning, Mike, the idea that what about our rights, our right to walk down a public street without being interfered with by a homeless person, our right to use the public park without it being covered by a camp that's full of drugs. So again, not to say the homeless don't deserve to be treated fairly, but that's not what this case is about. This case is about whether it's cruel, unusual punishment under the Eighth Amendment to even fine them at all unless you have a bed for them, which is, patently absurd. Yeah.
So assuming that the Supreme Court rules the way we're expecting them to and they strike down this this Ninth Circuit opinion, basically things go back to status quo, right, where the state government or governments do have the right to make these regulations on public behavior and we can just kind of move forward from there, right?
I think what you'd see, yes, is even though I have to emphasize that how we got here with the homeless crisis growing and growing over the last 40 years, the number of homeless in this country has doubled from about 250 to 300,000 to about 650,000 is what the federal government emphasizes. Hmm. We have to figure that out. But the bottom line is, yes, if the Supreme Court were to rule the way I'm predicting, governments could try and do more to get rid of these camps and hopefully would encourage the private sector to do more to help the homeless, and the governments can do what they can do as well.
Well, and then the unintended consequences, I mean this in a good way, is that every city and state would not be restrained in some judicial way from coming up with their own solution, be it private sector, be it public, be it a combination of the others. But it seems like a ruling in favor of the homeless advocates in this case could really handcuff a lot of jurisdictions, a lot of cities, a lot of counties, a lot of states who are dealing with this because, I'm just seeing with my naked eye driving around, there are more homeless people and more tents up than I used to see, in the cities in which I've lived, and obviously St. Louis now for a long time. And so I'm seeing it. So it seems like a ruling that goes the wrong direction could really handcuff a lot of those communities.
It's either going to handcuff them or it's going to put an incredible cost on them because you would have to see local governments, and I don't know where they're going to get the money to do it, build massive homeless beds, facilities, and we all know what that'll look like and how bad that will turn. You know, government housing doesn't work. That's a whole other discussion for another day. But the idea that we're going to provide homeless housing through the government and somehow that's going to solve this problem is a reach. And that's why really I think the Supreme Court is going to say government should have a free hand to address the homeless, but not be required to provide them beds or leave them alone, because leaving them alone gets us to where we are now, which is not tenable.
Okay, so, I mean, to simplify it down to the dummy Mike Ferguson level of dummy, is we've got, you know, a feel-good advocacy saying you have to do something and do this versus, hey, keeping the role of government in its proper place is messy and complicated sometimes.
That's exactly right. You know, this was a great example of the feel good. In fact, at one point in the argument, the woman was saying the lawyer for the homeless advocates was the homeless was arguing that, well, she would like to live in a world where the homeless would have a right to bring their dog into a homeless shelter, but that's not a constitutional right. And the idea that someone was even arguing at the Supreme Court that it's even something to consider shows you how, you know, touchy-feely and feel-good this argument was. And that's all well and good. Justice Sotomayor did seem to go along with that homeless lawyer, advocate lawyer. But I think the rest of them were looking at this a little more commonsensically, which is to say, no, the government can't be doing, expected to do this.
Okay, this is another one of those complicated issues that affects us no matter where you are in the country right now. You all have put your brief up on the website. You all are commenting on this. Mark, how do people follow what you're doing? Because I encourage people to read up on this because it was really eye-opening. How do they get in touch? How do they learn more about this case?
Yeah, thank you, Mike. PacificLegal.org, you can find our brief. I'm also on Twitter, at Miller Appeals, or X, whatever we call it these days. Normally, we sue the government. It's very rare that Pacific Legal will ever support the government. But here, the homeless advocate argument was so out of line that we did come in and support the government and say, government needs to have a freer hand here to address our homeless crisis. And so PacificLegal.org, check us out. We'll represent you for free if you're in a fight with the government, which is what we usually do.
Yeah, they like to sue the government.
Yes, sir. That's why we like them.
That's right. Hey, Mark, good talk to you again. Thanks so much. This is really a fascinating case.
Thanks, Mark.
Thanks, gentlemen.
All right, like I said, let's get things going with the first morning news dump of the day that's coming your way here in just about 2 minutes and 18 seconds right here on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
Wake up, America. It all worked out.
You know, I mean, they got all the news.
The morning news dump.
All right, here we go. Happy hump day, people. The Biden administration wants to get rid of non-compete agreements. This is interesting to me.
I think it's a good idea.
I'm actually surprised at how many people are affected by non-competes.
It does happen in many industries that you and I don't really think about.
Right.
But it does hit us a lot in media.
Yeah, our business has them. So is that the right call? Mm. You know, Stell likes the idea. What do you think? And here's the other question. Is that the place of government on this? I find this a fascinating discussion. I had no idea how many people were affected by non-competes. Like you said, Stell, including in industries you would never think of as having a non-compete situation. So let's talk about that here in a little bit. Because, yeah, we're talking about the power of businesses and the power of workers and the freedom of workers, but also the role of government. So there's a whole bunch mixed into it here. Also, was Missouri's foray into being a caucus state a failure?
Well, in my opinion, sort of.
Yeah. There's a push to return the state back to a primary state.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. I think I would go with that, to be honest with you.
Yeah. I want you to tell me why here in a little bit. Okay. Also, there was a baseball game at Busch Stadium last night. Cardinals didn't really show up, but there was a game anyway.
Ruh-roh.
Yeah. We'll tell you about that here. It's 5:50 right now. I'm Mike, and that's Stell here. Here's an interesting update. Maplewood updates their hate crime ordinance in response to the vandalism against a Jewish family. We were telling you about this earlier this week. Last night, the city council voted to include stealing as one of the crimes covered under hate if it's done in connection with something racist or based on religious discrimination or motivated by other factors like, you know, anti-gay and all the leftist things on there. The changes happen as a family has had Israeli flags defaced and stolen. So if you steal from the store just to steal from the store, that's still a crime. But in Maplewood, if you steal something because you don't like their religion or race or lifestyle or whatever, well, then that becomes hate crime, and there's a bigger penalty for it in the city. So let's talk about that here in a little bit as well. The nonsense on many of these so-called elite college campuses is continuing. Republican lawmakers sending a letter to the White House officials on Tuesday calling on the administration to take more action against these college brats throwing their fits in favor of Hamas. Virginia Senator Mark Warner, who's actually a Democrat, was on Fox's Special Report with Brett Baer. And, you know, he gave his reaction. He's like, yeah, you got a right to protest, but
people do have a right to protest. That is a First Amendment right in this country. But they don't have a right, as we've seen at some of these universities, to shut down the university. And if you break the law, as we saw at Columbia University, you ought to be held accountable.
My tax dollars are going for a lot of loans and grants for a lot of these idiots who are clearly pro-terrorism sympathizers. I want my money back. I'm not going to get it back, but I want my money back.
You know, we have just a second here. You want me to give you a really quick list of, this is what I saw last night, where stuff is going on across the country. Columbia, NYU, UC Berkeley, Yale, MIT. Can ask Gabe about that. Tufts, Emerson, UNC Chapel Hill, Michigan, the new school in Manhattan, Rutgers, Maryland, Vanderbilt, WashU.
Yeah.
Ohio State, Princeton, and Temple.
Yeah, Harvard. You can add Harvard to that one, too. They're preparing for it. They've already shut down parts of Harvard's campus because they know what's coming. Yeah.
Okay.
This is going to eventually be, you know, across the country. What we have here is an entire generation of pro-terrorism, pro-Hamas, anti-Semitic protest. If your child is in college anywhere, I would be give them a call. Hey, what are you hearing? And if they say, I'm going to be part of this, we're going to free the Palestinian people. Tell your kid that, you know what, daddy's checkbook just got cut off.
Yeah. You know, we have a niece at NYU. I'm wondering if her parents called yesterday and said, hey, come home.
I'd be interested to see how that goes, because this is going to affect a lot of people. The Federal Trade Commission votes to ban non-compete agreements on a 3-2 vote. The decision calls for an end to enforcement of existing non-competes and an end of the implementation of new non-competes. And this is supposed to start in 4 months. The decision, it's administrative. This is not a change in the law. This is just an administrative one. But it would have the force of law because we have an administrative state. It will certainly be challenged in court. It's going to be fascinating. I mean, our industry, still, we know that, I mean, not to get into inside baseball, all of us are affected by non-competes in this industry.
Yeah, and a lot of them vary from six months to a year, and the area that it covers varies,
right,
depending on where you work.
I've had non-compete agreements, you know, and contracts in the past. I mean, so yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see what people think about that. Okay, how about we really make you mad right now? Let's do this.
We haven't already.
Right, yeah. But get this. A Texas judge drops charges against 140 illegal immigrants who stormed the U.S. southern border in El Paso that was caught on camera. The city's district attorney, his name is Bill Hicks, he says this ruling is absolutely unfair.
It doesn't matter an individual's legal status. If U.S. citizens were involved in this, they too would be charged with rioting.
Yeah, he added that a grand jury thought there was probable cause to charge the illegals, and they overruled the judge. The cases are now being processed before returning to the courts as active cases. But right now, you've got a judge trying to literally let people off the hook because I'm not in their head, letting illegal immigrants off the hook when they are seen clearly on video enacting and provoking the violence against our border and storming them and injuring a couple of them.
Well, congratulations. You've ticked me off.
Yeah. See, I told you it was going to happen. All right. 4 weeks after the collapse of the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore, Governor Wes Moore gave an update on the affected shipping channels that were shut down because of that that tragedy.
It doesn't matter an individual.
Oops, sorry, wrong one here. Let me go back to this one here. There we go.
On clearing the Federal Channel and opening vessel traffic to the port, we are on track to have 4 different channels available to commercial transit by later this week.
Which is kind of remarkable to be able to move as fast as they did, considering how massive that disaster has been. The governor says the end goal is to return the port to its full capacity, obviously. Right after the collapse, the Biden administration says it's going to put $60 million to fund cleanup efforts. Still, there's not enough effort, I think, or enough talk about hold the shipping cargo company accountable. It was their faulty ship, it appears, that caused the entire problem. So why are taxpayers being the ones that we go to first? Now, I understand the emergency situation. This is emergent. We've got to fix it. We got to get these corridors back up. We got to do it right away instead of, you know, making an insurance claim. So I get that. But the shipping cargo company, that's the one that should be really held accountable for this.
And it seemed as though they were trying to sidestep the whole issue, but I agree with you. You know, timing's the whole issue here, and maybe they figure, okay, we'll put money in, and then they can pay us back.
That would be fine with me.
Okay.
Absolutely. Okay, Wilson Contreras hit a home run in the first inning. That's the good news. And then the Cardinals got whooped the rest of the way.
Oh, man.
Oh, when I say whooped, I mean, this was embarrassing. I mean, even like, seriously, downtown St. Louis, even like some of St. Louis's criminals were like, hey, I don't know anything about this, man. This is not my fault. Don't get mad at me for this. All right, final score in last night's debacle of a game at Busch Stadium was Diamondbacks 14, Cardinals 1.
Oh, two TDs for the Diamondbacks.
Good night. The Redbirds will try to salvage the series and maybe some of their pride this afternoon in the final game of that series, because the Cardinals did win the first one. Kyle Gibson gets the start. First pitch is at 12:15. I would say where you can watch it, but I don't think anybody cares anymore.
Be interesting to see what the attendance is like for an afternoon game during the week.
Yeah.
Normally it's good. We'll see today.
For podcast articles and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.